Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
I had no doubt that mermaids were real, that elementals existed, and that I was connecting with them, at least on some level, but it floored me that they could incarnate or that they could connect to a physical body, and that they would go so far to connect with someone. You know, I thought of myself as a human then. I am in a human body. I'm having a human experience. It was really touching and just awe-inspiring.
It's Wendy's Coffee House. My guest is Elle Swann. How to Become a Mermaid, Embodying the Elemental Energy of Water. Okay, this is unique, dynamic, and fascinating, because all of this is about water. And right now, especially global warming, the water element is crucial, and you have done an incredible job of pulling this information together. I just wanted to say thank you, because it's a whole different way of looking at water elementals, the metaphysics behind consciousness in terms of connecting with the mer people, which people, this is one of a kind. How's that?
Oh, thank you so much. That's beautiful.
So as a kid, you're in the bathtub trying to connect with merfolk. Your parents are kind of not indifferent, okay? And you're saying, well, fine, I'll do this myself. So how did this get started?
Yeah, so I came out of a very conservative household. Think fundamentalist Christianity. You know, I'm not coming up against any religion here, but my parents in particular were very rigid in their belief system. You know, there was, you know, my way or the highway thinking, very patriarchal. And I just found that I didn't fit into that well at all. I didn't believe in hell like they believed in, at least as a physical place. I didn't believe in the Christian pantheon in quite the same way that they did. But I found myself connecting to spirit in a way that didn't really resonate with, you know, the patriarchal God complex that often comes with fundamentalism. So I felt connected to something, and it was big and it was beautiful, but it felt so safe and nurturing. So I think half the time I just crashed my way through it. You know, I didn't have a guidebook. I didn't have access to spiritual books outside of the Bible or, you know, traditional texts. So I just naturally would sit in the bathtub, but I would feel a connection to something so much more. And over time, I discovered my clairaudience and clairsentience, which means that I could hear things from the mermaid realm. I could feel them, and sometimes they would just pop into my head, and I knew it wasn't me. These were things that were coming to me and speaking to me and nurturing me in their own way. So it was very organic, a little awkward at times, and I didn't even fully understand it at first. But over time, even though I might not have at first called them mermaids, I knew that beings from other realms existed, and that they wanted to make their presence known to me. So that was when I was really little. I hadn't fully realized the spiritual implications or the global implications of mermaids or, you know, ecology or eco-consciousness, but it was starting to come through. So those were the early years.
But see, that's what's so, I think, fascinating about it, because you're doing this yourself, and so it's an intuition thing. You're drawn, you're compelled, you're energized and activated, and you're following your own insight. And so to me, that says that this is where you belong. And I like the way you say, I'm a mermaid, this is my story, on your website.
Yes. I was just like, you know what, how can I be crystal and clear about what the mission is here?
Yes, okay, now proceed. The way you talk about the fish when you're connecting with your fish, and this is the telepathic connection that we have with all life. And could you fill us in on how this works for you?
When I was a kid, I did have fish. I wasn't connecting to them in the same way that I did when I was older. The merman, merperson incarnating, you know, or connecting to a fish body, that came more when I was in college. But I'd grown up with fish. I felt deeply connected to them. And I would have really elaborate rituals and friendships and stories I'd make up with them. And when a fish died, it was kind of horrific because I was a little kid and, you know, loss is a bigger thing, I think, then. But as I transitioned and grew older, I entered college and I found my first merman or betta fish. And it kind of shocked me, to be honest, because I had no doubt that mermaids were real, that elementals existed, and that I was connecting with them, at least on some level. But it floored me that they could incarnate or that they could connect to a physical body and that they would go so far to connect with someone. You know, I thought of myself as a human then. I am in a human body. I'm having a human experience. It was really touching and just awe-inspiring. So that prompted a whole new leg of research. I had no idea that beings could incarnate in that way. My only reference for that would maybe be like a starseed, you know, someone from a different planet or a lifetime incarnating in a human body. But it just didn't dawn on me that mermaids and mermen could do the same thing. So it was really special. It was just incredible to meet him for the first time and to really see, hey, we are actively physically connecting with you. We have a physical purpose on planet Earth, and we're going to be here to, you know, hold your hand in a way and help you do what you need to do.
You also talk about at one point you're away from home and the betta appears to you and says, I need to go and I'll be back.
Yeah. So I think that the mer people know, I'm actually autistic. Most people don't know that. So I'm not really big on surprises. I kind of like to know a little bit ahead of time, you know, when someone's going to, I think everyone can probably say that. I kind of like to have a hint, you know, if someone's going to leave or come in, you know, it helps me stay balanced. It helps me know, okay, well, is our mission over? Are we going to continue working together? It's like, you know, we were partners. Are we still continuing this work? So I think that he came to me and he said, you know what, I've incarnated. I've been with you for a while now, but I can't stay incarnated as a fish forever. I'm going to leave this physical form. I'm going to transition, you know, back to my astral state, but we can still remain in contact. And that was so important for me to understand that the contact can continue. You know, when we have relatives or friends pass on to the next, you know, stage, the next life or the afterlife, we know that we can in some ways still connect with them. But I guess, again, it didn't fully dawn on me that the same thing, you know, happened with mer people. I was just like, okay, well, what does he mean? He's going to leave. Is he, you know, where is he going to go? And he just meant that he's going to go back to his realm, but our connection remains. We're always connected. We're connected through the water elements, which some magical scholars call the magnetic fluid. I think it was like a promise, you know, nothing is ending, just physical bodies don't last forever.
Well, so when you went home, there was the fish and he was deceased.
Yes, he was. And I gave him a very beautiful funeral and send off because even though I felt that we were always going to be connected, I wanted to honor his existence, you know, on planet Earth, because it takes a lot of bravery, humans included, to incarnate in these bodies and, you know, navigate the more conflicting energies that can arise in this field. It's very, very different from the mermaid realm. It's a unique experience.
I think people who know fish don't need this explanation, but I remember a cowfish, and he was my friend's fish, and he was so interactive, engaging. The minute someone walked into the room, he came over to you and said, oh, you're here. Here I am. And he was so animated. It was incredible. And I thought, oh my gosh. But I knew he's high maintenance, or at least for me. And I think he's saltwater fish. But he was just so dynamic. And that was the first time that I had experienced a fish with a very outgoing personality.
Yeah, that's amazing. How cool. Do you think he was a merman, or do you think he was just like a really interactive fish? Like, hey, this is me, be friends, you know?
Since he was her fish, I didn't have enough time to really explore what he might be. I just know that from being around him and her, that interaction was you couldn't miss it. You couldn't miss it. And he was so animated when people came to visit and there was somebody new in the room. At that point, I hadn't considered that. Now, my own experience with with pearls are that pearls, and I couldn't be around them for a while. This has been a while when I first was exploring more of my connection to gemstones and rocks and understanding that they each had different personalities. The pearls I had an out-of-body experience, and these were the sirens. And I thought, oh my gosh, these are real beings, and they are extremely seductive. And I was kind of leaving the body, and my husband was with me, and my heart was stopping, and he was he grounded me, and I came back. That was incredibly intense, and I was just irritated because I realized that they had the energy and the power, if you are on that wavelength, to basically take you to a different realm, and you could or could not come back if you had an idea of what was going on. I thought, this is what happened to the sailors. This is how they kicked, keeled over. Their sirens were calling, and they didn't realize that they were losing their body at the same time. That was an awakening, a really big awakening to the power of others to influence us, who we may or may not believe in. Okay, it doesn't matter. It's when it happens, then you're like, oh, this is real. I'm done.
Absolutely.
So when he realized, he knew, as I was saying, oh, this, I'm leaving. And my heart was changing. So it quickly grounded me, and we went forward, and I stayed away from pearls for a while.
Yes, I can imagine. That's so cool that you bring that up. What a powerful experience that must have been. Just fully, like, you can't even argue with it at that point. It's just like, wow, this is real. You just threw me in the deep end.
Thanks a whole lot. I'm really thrilled, and I'm not going near those darn black pearls. I wouldn't talk about it for a while because I didn't want to bring it back. And once I figured out what was happening and how I had been influenced and much more vulnerable, and in a way, it was a wonderful, I think, introduction to the fact that on these different realms, there is so much, if we're open to it, a dynamic real. And that's what you have for yourself, have really mapped out these realms so that you can teach others. If you hadn't done this firsthand, you know, in the trenches, so to speak, then it would be, I think, harder to teach. But as I read your book and look at the information, the way you have developed your own windows and doorways, as you call them, then it makes it easier to teach somebody else and to show them this is how it works. Whether they experience it the same way you do is really irrelevant, but the fact that they know that you can do it, I think, is helpful.
Yeah, for sure. It always helps to ground things in a physical way. You know, this is how I meditate. This is how I connected with fish. And it's so cool to hear that people like you have also just naturally unfolded to this and already experienced it. And I mean, it gave me the courage to write about this because I met other mermaids who had such deep connections with fish when, you know, in college, I just thought I was super weird. Because most people, you know, when they have deep connections, it's like with dogs or they're obsessed with wolves, which are super, super cool. But fish, that's a little unusual. It's a little bit different because fish are in tanks and they don't make the same facial expressions, you know, that other pets do. So it's a different kind of connection.
Well, and people who have the koi ponds and things like that, and you see them being interactive with the dogs, or they will come up, and especially if you've seen the YouTube video, the woman who was saved by a whale when the tiger shark came up, and not only that, she went back, and that same whale, she was saying, out of the, you know, the odds being so intense against this happening, here comes the whale again, and they reconnect, and she said it was magical. Those, I think, are moments for us to learn from. With this, then you started developing relationships with specific elementals, and, you know, you said the merfolk. So how does that work for you?
As far as connecting with them, it just unfolded over time. More fish came to me. I also, a big turning point for me was when I connected, I believe I first connected with them in 2012. I connected with a wonderful friend of mine named William Mistily, and he has spent decades researching mermaids. So we connected very deeply and very quickly. I shared some of my stuff with him. He shared all of his resources with me. And I really just used a lot of his stuff to springboard myself forward. He really expanded me, and that he was just like, you know, I have mermaid women sometimes come and see me, and I study them physically to see what their traits are. And it hadn't really dawned on me to do that yet. I was just kind of doing my own independent research. I hadn't thought, oh, maybe I should, you know, actually connect with other incarnated mermaids. So I found a whole community after meeting him, and I met him through actually a mermaid on Facebook at the time, but she was really the only one that I knew. So it became very expansive, and through connecting with all of these other people, I was naturally connecting with other beings like fairies and stuff like that, but I also ended up connecting with some fire spirits, which are called salamanders, and some sylphs, which are air spirits. So I think community meant so much more to me. Independent research was vital. It was my foundation, like you said. It gave me a unique spin on connecting with the mermaid realm, you know, instead of just connecting to it through some vague mythology through a book. But connecting with the community just gave me so much more than I already had, and I was able to utilize the research of others to connect even more deeply. And then the last thing I would say that really helped me was discovering the Czech magician named Franz Bardone. And he basically did a lot of research on elementals, but the thing that I found to be most useful in his work were his mind-prepping meditations. So he wrote some books. One is about the Kabbalah, which is basically like calling cards for different elementals and ways to connect with them. But I really started with his basic meditations, and it's about quieting your mind and becoming a mirror and letting what shows up show up. It's learning to think without thoughts. It sounds really funny because it's a paradox, but it's stepping into a state of allowance for deeper connection. And this really paved the way for me to connect with mermaids like Izafol, who's very, she's the queen of stillness, and she's like this moon goddess. She's so peaceful, like a lake without ripples, and you can fully see who you are and what is just by being in her presence. All of those things together really cultivated my experience.
In your book, you have some poetry that expresses her. I think that's beautiful.
It's funny. I have my book open in front of me. I'm flipped open to that exact page.
How convenient. Okay. So, all right. That means you get to share. So let's hear it.
Okay. So Isabel came to me, and this is what she said one day. She says, "Does an iceberg need to breathe? Does the moon have a heartbeat? The moon does not lose her grace when the sun no longer shines on her face. She does not wait for the next day or have a thought to anticipate. Is there a plan in the ocean spray or desire in volcanic lakes? Be still. I am suspended between the inhale and the exhale, between the ebb and the flow. This is a place where you can be so clear that pain and even thoughts disappear. When you place your hand upon my face, you will feel the oceans of the earth as one wave. This is a gift from the sea and the foundation of all peacemaking. The biggest problem faced by man is to see dreams as whimsical things rather than states of being. There are dreams inside of me so sweet that they end all separation and heal every being. Release identity and live so free that fear and thought have no way to distract from all that is and all you can be. Now is the key. In your dreams, become the answer you ask for. Eclipsed in your mind is a great enigma. Your dreams are the lifeboats for your earthly expeditions. Stillness is the seaport for your thoughts craving repose. My love will ferry you across the expanse. When you are so endless and serene that all that exists is in your being, then your very existence will create peace and be like the waves and tides that reflect lunar light. In every moment we arrive, innocence is being in this one moment, knowing it is the first, the last, and the eternal, without forgetting and losing the miracle you are. There is a portal named Serenity. As soon as you enter it, you are at home. There is only here. Stillness is the answer to your mystery."
See, I think that's fantastic. It's a beautiful way of saying that dreams are an entry point to another realm. Mm-hmm. You get a wonderful, I think, conversation with the elementals, the merfolk that you connect to, and with your own higher source. I want to continue that here in the next break. We have to take a break. I do want to say the book is available, How to Become a Mermaid, Embodying the Elemental Energy of Water by L. Swan. And this is Amazon, wherever you want to go, or the website. Your story is on the website. I want to go into that as well. I love the pictures you put on the website, You by the Ocean, How to Become a Mermaid, and it's the SedonaMermaid.com. Again, the SedonaMermaid.com. All right, so next when we go into this, I want to find out about your fish and Calypso, John Denver. All right?
Okay. Sure thing.
Okay, so stick around. L, the mermaid.
Wendy's Coffee House.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
When I'm connecting with fish and things like that, I love to use music, which, you know, is the universal language, to connect with them because they love it, I love it, and it's like you can translate these codes in a way that you just can't express through words.
Wendy's Coffee House, my guest is Elle, and Elle is a mermaid, and I think this is fantastic. The SedonaMermaid.com and the book, How to Become a Mermaid, Embodying the Elemental Energy of Water. All right, Calypso and John Denver, one of your fish had a favorite song. I love this story. So, John Denver?
Yes, it was so cute. So I used to have an Aranda fish, which is like a fancy goldfish, and she would get so crazy excited and over friendly when I would either play the song, you know, on my iPod or something, or just when I would pluck it out on, I don't know, a ukulele. I have a mandolin too. I kind of just, you know, clink, clank, clunk around. And she would just get so involved with me. She would, you know, jump and breach like a whale and just swim around and be all crazy. And it took me, you know, a while to really connect with why she loved it so much. I had to connect with the mer person who was connecting, you know, with her physical form. And I was just like, what is it about this that means so much to you? And it's somewhere in the lyrics where he says, to live on the land, we must learn from the sea.
Yeah.
And this mermaid kind of looks at me in the astral and she's just like, what man talks like that? How come, you know, why don't we show people what that means? We teach them to integrate the ocean and the mermaid realm into themselves to better human consciousness. It sounds funny, but, you know, TV shows like Avatar, The Last Airbender, they really highlight on how important it is for humans to integrate all of the elements into themselves to fully be all that they are. So I think the mermaids are just kind of lending a hand and saying, hey, this is our piece of it, and this is why we love it. And I really felt like I got involved in her excitement, and it just, you know, it pushed me forward to integrate the mermaid story. And it wasn't very long after that that I sat down and wrote this book.
It's one of my favorite songs. And John Denver, I did interview him a year before he died. And
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was he invited me to his concert. I didn't want to go. I wanted to remember him as I did in my memory with all the imagination that you have about people who are superstars or beyond your reach. I wanted to keep that. Mm-hmm. And here, though, is when you were talking, here's the okay, that's a ukulele. Occasionally,
I love it.
Yeah, when I walked into my studio, and I don't know how to play it, all right? I got it because I wanted to at least learn and possibly learn You Are My Sunshine, okay? I have the sheet music. I have all that. But the funny thing is, when I walk in here, there was one time specifically I walked in, it played itself. It was like, and I'm like, whoa, 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 hey. So I know there's somebody here to help me if I would ever get them go beyond, get off the mark with it. But I thought, oh, cool. You have that musical element and that instrument. We connect on vibration and frequency. And so that's what this water element is also trying to remind us. And when you talk about doing meditations and offering, you know, that kind of energy, it's part of that's how we connect. So if you would explain more of your own connections and what this means, and beyond that, the Kraken. Okay, I don't want to overlook the Kraken because Krakens are really important.
Yes, we can totally get into the Krakens. Those are so cool.
Okay.
As far as vibrational connection, yes, absolutely. Everything is fundamentally a vibration, you know, and I think that actually does kind of segue into the Krakens and other elementals as far as how they appear to us in their forms, because really mermaids and, you know, water elementals can appear to us however they want, but they pick a vibration that makes sense to us. You know, we're not going to look at some really strange looking starseedy thing and recognize, oh, that's a mermaid, you know, that's the water element. They know that we have, you know, preconceived pictures and images associated with what these beings are. So I think that they adapt themselves just temporarily sometimes to that vibration so that we can recognize them. And I appreciate that so much because I fundamentally connect with merfolk, you know, intuitively and psychically, but when I'm connecting with fish and things like that, I love to use music, which, you know, is the universal language, to connect with them because they love it, I love it, and it's like you can translate these codes in a way that you just can't express through words. And they have these different tones that they like more than others, or, you know, this configuration of musical notes that just embodies an element of the mermaid realm that, you know, other people haven't discovered yet. There's just so much potential there for that. So sometimes, you know, I'll pluck something out over one of their tanks and we'll kind of be like, yeah, I don't know about that one. I don't really like it. But then I'll play something else and they get all excited. It resonates with them. And Franz Bardone, the Czech magician who did a lot of research on mermaids and, you know, elementals, he developed a system of connecting with elementals. And I think it's useful for humans because it gives us a lot of permission slips to connect with these beings. He assigns different colors and magical tones, or just like single notes that resonate with the vibration of a particular elemental. So if we want to contact, you know, Isabel, I actually can't remember her color anymore, but she has a color associated with her that we can meditate on, and a specific note we can play that's like, it's like a phone number we can dial into and be with these beings. And it's all vibrational, but it can be made physical in a way that makes sense to people, even new to meditation.
Now, the other thing you also connect to is the ETs. And I love that you posted on your website the blog about your ET, the UFO sighting that you had.
Yes, I've had so many UFO sightings here in Sedona, and this is such a hot spot. Like, this is the ET central Mecca, you know, yes, of the U.S. for many, many people. So that's a huge thing. And I mean, originally when I started out with spiritual blogging and just talking to people, it actually did start out more with the starseed side of stuff. But as I saw how obscure mermaids were, I really highlighted on that because there's so many incredible people doing great work with starseeds and, you know, really revitalizing our ET connections. But there aren't as many people focusing on the mermaid. So I was just like, all right, I'll be the mermaid girl. I'll focus on that a bit more.
Sedona. So there's a lot of interest there. And I even have a picture of the UFO thing. We went hiking and I just decided to take a picture of the clouds because the scenery there is fantastic. And so there's the picture of the clouds and I get home and I look at the pictures and there's five orbs up in the clouds. I'm like, oh, that's why I was supposed to take the picture. So
yeah, that's cool.
yeah, part of that. I also connect with animals, a very, very strong connection there with the animals, and had a lot of wonderful experiences, telepathic contact and physical contact driving back and forth. I worked at a radio station for a short time. And going back and forth, I heard the tap, tap, tap. I thought, okay, maybe I can get this because I don't know if I'm hearing it really, you know, in my mind or in the physical plane. And I tapped, tap, tap was the sound, and I heard it in different ways. And on the video, or I'm sorry, the cassette at that time, I had a cassette recorder and I was saying, I don't hear anything. Well, I guess I missed it. When I went back and listened to it, there was this huge on the window, like it could have been right beside me. And I'm like, wow, it was real.
It's here. That's
yes.
Amazing.
Well, you know that. And at the same time, how do you prove it? And even then, you know, people, well, you've made that happen. And yeah, that's fine. It also took me in one morning around a puddle that if I had hit it when I went to the station and did the news, there were accidents because the guides told me drive around it, don't drive through the water. And so I didn't. It was raining and there was a puddle along just inside the cliff between Village of Oak Creek and Sedona. And so I drove around it. And when I got to work, that was where the accident was because it had washed out the road. You couldn't see it. Thank you. There's a very, very, very strong telepathic connection in Sedona. So I love that space. I love that you're there because it gives you the ability to focus and connect and tune in and then share. That's the whole beauty of it, sharing.
Yeah. It's such a powerful vortex here. It's like constant, you know, text messages that show up intuitively, you know, or psychically. They're constantly pinging at you. So you just got to kind of pick, you know, what do I tune into now? You know, what are my interests? What are my passions? Because there's always something dialing in. It's so easy and natural here. It's a one-of-a-kind place, and it's really the place that feels most at home to me on planet Earth, which is super weird because, you know, I study mermaids, and I have, you know, a mermaid aura energy and things like that. So it's like most people are asking me, why don't you live next to the ocean? And I did for many years. I did grow up, you know, for my first 12, 13 years, 3 miles from the oceanfront at Virginia Beach. But what the mermaids have told me is that, number one, I mean, I really do connect with my starseed self here. This is very, very starseedy in Sedona. But mermaids are wherever water is. So when it's raining, you know, when you're next to a lake or a stream or a creek, it's really no different than being next to the ocean. It is a different vibration, but you're no less able to connect with the mermaid realm. And, you know, our bodies are mostly made of water, so we always have access to the water element in some way. So I don't ever really feel deprived. I do go out to the coast, you know, sometimes in LA and California and, you know, really connect with that side of things. But I don't ever feel like I'm missing something here. And I did not expect that before I moved. It's been quite the surprise.
Yeah, especially, yeah, you are in the hot spot in so many different ways. The thing about being in Sedona is that you also are connected with other people who are working these same kinds of programs. So there's a community and a feeling of congruence where you don't always have that in other places. So I think that's giving you, I think, a lot of support where you are being reaffirmed and validated for what you're doing.
Absolutely. Because, I mean, there's such a big difference from where I grew up. I mean, no matter what, our connection will always remain with the mermaid realm. But it is so different, you know, what you crave and what you tune into when you're in, you know, more of a mainstream city. And I'm not here to demonize that. There are really cool things in a city, you know, but it's completely different when you're spiritually integrating. And that's really your core focus, you know, in life. And you actually get to be in a place that facilitates that. It's so welcoming, and I feel so fortunate to be able to be privy to that experience.
Okay, now you read a lot. A lot.
Yeah.
As in a lot.
Yeah, I'm a self-professed nerd.
Okay. All right. So what's your favorite when you're going for something to read? What do you gravitate? Now, I saw the D&D thing. I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Yes. I'm a big D&D nerd, and I almost always play an elf because I'm inspired by, you know, J.R.R. Tolkien's view of the elves, you know, where he says that they woke up the trees and taught them to speak. I feel so much resonance with that, and I love the way he talks in the Silmarillion, his, you know, the book that precedes The Lord of the Rings. I love how he talks about how the elves feel so deeply connected to water. And the kind of like the elvish merman, I think you pronounce his name like Manwe or something like that. It's so beautiful. So typically, I will reach for a fantasy or a sci-fi book, okay. Something like that. If I'm reading fiction, that's what I go for. If I'm not reading fiction, it's usually something like psychology or, of course, spirituality, you know, something kind of in that realm.
Well, when you talk about being autistic, I think there's still that thing of, well, what does that mean? Does it mean obsessive compulsive? Does it mean I can't focus? Does it mean I focus on way too many things all at once? I mean, I just think it means you're driven.
Yeah, it can mean a lot of different things. Autism is actually just a really big spectrum, and there's different levels of autism. Unfortunately, in the past, people did attribute degrees of functionality to it. Like, you know, some people are more functional, some are less. Many people found that offensive, though, because it was kind of like saying that, you know, autistic people were only valid if they were useful. So we've kind of moved past that rhetoric, which is why Asperger's syndrome isn't recognized anymore. You're just autistic or you're not. You know, you're somewhere on the spectrum or you're not.
Yeah.
So for me, that just comes with a particular set of needs and interests. So for me, I am not easily distracted, actually. I am so hyper-focused that I don't know, someone could be having a car accident next to me, and if I'm really into something, I'm not even going to register it. It will just go right over my head. So I kind of do have to, you know, work to stay grounded and in my body. With autism, it also means that you have limitations on the type of stimulation that you receive. So we can get overstimulated by a lot of loud noises or crowds or things like that. But I think that in some ways we do have that in common with a lot of, you know, sensitive people, even if they aren't on the spectrum. So we seek out, you know, high vibrational and good feeling things. We love good sensory material. We love to feel, you know, relaxed and in our bodies and supported. But I can't really fully define autism because it's so many different things. It's so many different faces and personalities. It doesn't automatically mean that you're OCD. It doesn't even automatically mean that you have ADHD. It's just a really unique vibrational experience. And I think it's cool that a lot of starseeds have said that autism is kind of like the new human, because we connect much more intuitively rather than relying on people's faces and expressions to communicate.
Well, what I think is interesting is it also gives you a different level of awareness. I had dealt with a person who had a ghost happening in the house, and the child, I think he was about six, and he was able to see the ghost. He was playing with another child who was there, and that ghost would open doors and things like that. And it was interesting because at one point, mom had this little, it was a boy, on her lap, and she was seeing a portal open through the front door. This orange glow started, and these people started coming through dressed in Civil War period clothing in a conga line. And the reason, my own belief, that she could see it because she was in his wavelength and she was in his space, and he saw these things naturally. And by her being there with him, she at finally at some point could make the connection, oh my gosh, this is what he's seeing. And she said it was just incredible, because for one thing, she didn't know it existed, and this was his pretty much everyday experience because he was playing with the ghost child in that
house.
So to me, that's what that autistic element brings, is this a wider awareness that may or may not be articulated, because in some parts of our world this doesn't exist. So thank you for bringing it to awareness and giving it a way to be connected and to be talked about, because that's what people do when they start experiencing these things. It's like, how do I make this real for other people?
For sure. Yeah. Thank you so much for recognizing that. It feels really good to be validated as an autistic person. And I know that many autistic people, you know, maybe even listening to this podcast, will feel the same. That's really, really wonderful to feel accepted and cared for, you know, by the community. So that's so kind. Thank you.
Well, I think it's so fun too, that your name with L. Swan, that's the name that it kind of says, okay, this is your template. This is what you were born into. Now find your way and go for it.
Exactly. It's like, hey, here's the code for you. Now you just got to decipher it and live it out.
And you also have in the introduction to your book, your friend, William, and is it Misley?
Misley, yes.
And he says he's going to do a documentary about you.
Yes, he says that he wants to do a documentary about my past experiences. He's done a lot of work with other mermaids as well, just speaking about our unique perspective of the world and things like that. I think he is, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I think he is going to highlight more on the human side of the experience. So coming out of the darkness, you know, into the light, because I didn't have the easiest childhood. So I think he's going to integrate that as well. But it's supposed to be like a hopeful message and something that also furthers mermaid research.
Is it necessary if you're a merperson to have a tail?
No, it is not necessary. It's really cool. I'm totally, you know, there for it. I'm a big proponent of mermaid tails. They're so much fun. But no, of course not, because I really sat and I thought, you know, what does it take to be a mermaid? And to tell people that they have to have a tail is, you know, it's really rooted in privilege and money, and not everyone has that. And we can make our own mermaid tails, but, you know, even people with physical limitations can't swim with them. So the mermaids were very clear when I was writing this book that anyone could be a mermaid. It doesn't matter about their, you know, physical abilities, their financial status, anything like that. It all truly originates on the inside, and everything else, like the tails and the swimming, it's so fun, but it's just a bonus.
When you're meditating, you actually referred, and I checked it out, the music that you meditate, and I think Miracles was the song, and that's beautiful. Yeah, and people are, I was reading in the YouTube comments, like, oh, this takes me back, this is so wonderful. Yeah, okay, so so that song, what speaks to you?
I love that, because it speaks to me, like I said, coming out of fundamentalist Christianity. This does not apply to everyone. Christianity and religion has expanded even so much since the 90s, you know, when I was a little kid. But back then, for my particular family, there was no sense of eco-consciousness, because the belief system then was that God is going to create a new heaven or earth anyway. So in the book of Revelation, it says that this earth will eventually be destroyed. God will create a new one, that type of thing. There wasn't much of a need to ground the best of one's humanity in the physical. which in some ways is actually unbiblical because, you know, it says faith without works is dead. You're supposed to be doing good things, but it never translated to an eco-consciousness perspective. So when I hear that song, it's like, you know, it says that praying isn't enough. Bowing your head isn't enough. Even just sending energy isn't always enough. We have to be physical about how we care for this planet and take care of our water systems. We have to, you know, get our hands in the dirt, so to speak, and be willing to help. And, you know, even people without the physical ability to get down in the dirt and help, they can still contribute in other ways. You know, they can donate or they can just support the process and help different projects get the word out there, you know, stuff like that. There's a way that we can all physically contribute to the well-being of our planet.
The music, it's actually on YouTube. Above and Beyond presents Ocean Lab, Sirens of the Sea, and Miracles. They give you the little cheat sheet here of what track list, and it's at 20. So
yep,
if you're listening.
Yep, exactly.
So the book, How to Become a Mermaid, L. Swan, you can get this on Amazon. You can also check out, go to the website because you can see the pictures and all. That's a whole lot of fun. TheSedonaMermaid.com. Anything you want to add before we sign off?
No, I think that was perfect. This interaction was so watery and beautiful. Thank you so much for facilitating and co-creating this with me.
I'll put the links in the description for the show, and you can follow my blogs at Wendy's Coffee House and Talking to Night Lights. Thanks for listening.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Cleveland is where the urban meets the outdoors, where cultural celebrations meet rabid sports fans meet the symphony, where nobody goes hungry and everybody loves music. Fueled by passion, we are the land for life. From rich history to hidden gems, the Legends of the Land podcast shares the real stories from real Clevelanders that shape the city. From iconic chefs to grassroots changemakers, sports heroes to creative visionaries, learn why living all out is in Cleveland's DNA. Go to thisisCLE.com/podcast.